written on the board, the gates of pearl. Something maybe we have not studied and heard a lot about, but I've been very inspired from the Word of God about the gates of pearl. I'd like to share with you some on this subject this afternoon. And I know we can look around today and we say we're just a small group of people. We're kind of scattered. But you know, this is kind of a normal Sunday morning for me. If we look around at the numbers, if we were all just to gather in together, and the Spirit of the Lord can still be here and bless His Word. So the brother prayed that we'd be wide awake and alert this morning, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can all take something home with us. And I trust that we'll be inspired as we look into the Word of God this afternoon. If you will turn with me to the book of Revelation in the 21st chapter, we're going to start here in the 21st chapter. Lay a little foundation before we get to the gates of pearl. John the Revelator had a vision, an extensive vision of the birth of the church, the persecution that it would undergo, the apostasy that would take place. But towards the end of his vision, God gave him a wonderful, beautiful picture of something that he had to look forward to. And that was heaven. And he gave him a wonderful picture through symbols of what heaven was going to be. Now, when we read this in Revelation 21, we understand that heaven is going to far surpass what these words portray here. These words are only symbols to give us something to relate to of the glory and the splendor of heaven. So in Revelation chapter 21, John said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." Now, the first heaven and the first earth, he was talking about this earth that we're on right now today. And the heaven that he said was passed away were the aerial heavens. And you can turn over to the third chapter of 2 Peter, where it talks about the heavens and the earth. They're going to melt with a fervent heat. It's speaking about this earth and these aerial heavens. And so it said he had a vision of a new heaven and a new earth. Now, folks, we want to understand that God has a place prepared for his people after we die. And we're not just going to end up as spirits floating around for eternity, but we're going to have glorified bodies. We're going to have quality of life in a new heaven and a new earth. Well, so John began to get just a little glimpse of this new heaven and new earth. And he said, "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And then God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" And this is some of the promises that God gave. "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Do you know sin, even for children of God, sin brings heartache in this life. You can be saved and have the Holy Spirit, and there is heartache in this life because of the consequences of sin around about us in this world. But there's going to come a time that there's not going to be any more sorrow. All of the irritants and frustrations and trials and temptations, problem situations that bring grief to you, all those things are going to be passed away. And it's going to be for eternity. Well, no more crying. He said, "Behold, I will make all things new." And then he gives a very explicit picture of what heaven is going to be in symbolic language. And there is a lot to be gained from this passage, but we want to focus on one portion of it this afternoon. But just to briefly paraphrase and pass through, he said in verse 9, he said, "Come hither and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." And understand that New Jerusalem has dual meaning. New Jerusalem is also the church of God, God's people. And we experience these things in this life. While we may have physical tears, the Lord is there to wipe them away. The Lord is there to give us peace and victory. But the New Jerusalem also points forward to the city of God. Well, he carried me away and he showed me a picture of the bride. He said, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Now listen, this city has the glory of God contained in it. It has the glory. And her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall. Now he gives him a picture of the city, and it has a great wall around the city. It said it had 12 gates, and at the gates there were 12 angels, and names written thereon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. He tells us there were three gates on each side of that city. So in the north, on the northern wall, on the southern wall, on the eastern wall, and on the western wall, there are three gates. And the name of each of the tribes of Israel are on those gates. And he said the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles. Was not the church built upon Christ as the chief cornerstone, but also the apostles? The word of God was divinely revealed to those men that were in that close-knit unit with Christ, and they gave us what we now call the Bible. This New Testament word came by way as inspired by the Holy Spirit. These names would represent the Old Testament and the New Testament Church of God. We've got the 12 tribes of Israel. We've got the names of the 12 apostles. Folks, it represents all those that have followed God down through the dispensations of time will have entrance into heaven. Went on to say the wall of the city, okay, had 12 foundations, the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And then he measured the city and the gates thereof. And he said, the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. So it was square. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, 15,000 miles. A wall, 15,000 miles, 1,500, I'm sorry. 1,500 miles long. The walls were, depending on how you measure it, 216 feet high to 264 feet high. That's how high the walls were. The walls of heaven aren't going to be exactly like that, but he's giving us a picture, a symbolic picture of this city of grandeur, illuminous, with the presence of God there. And then he went on to describe the foundations and all the stones. And then in verse 21, he said the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Now, have you ever seen a pearl that was big enough to be a gate? Talk about the gates of pearl. Do you know, there's some wonderful things in this. And maybe you have more to add to it, and I hope the Holy Spirit can take this and give you a little bit more than what he's been talking to me about these gates of pearl. But when I first read it, it's like, okay, what is a gate of pearl? And so the Lord began to just inspire me. It's symbolic. It's symbolic of something that's precious and something that's valuable. And he said here, those 12 gates, he said every several gate was of one pearl. It wasn't like the gates were made up of many pearls. One gate was made up of one pearl. And he said the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And he said, I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. There's no need of the sun in this city. We can keep talking about what heaven is. You know there's a river of life running through there? And beside that river there's a tree of life that bears fruit for all manner of sickness and disease? What does that remind you of? I think about the Garden of Eden, where the tree of life was there, and as long as they had access to that, they would live forever. In heaven, the picture symbolically is we are back into an eternal state in the presence of God. No more sickness, no more sorrow, and no more tears. Wonderful place it's going to be. But what about when we enter in, we sing the song at funerals sometimes, to say the beautiful gates will open wide. Okay, the beautiful, what? The beautiful portals will open wide. What are those portals that we're singing about? Talking about gates of pearl. So I'd like to know what that means, symbolically. So what is a pearl? Where's a pearl come from? Does anybody know? Where do you get pearls? I'm not talking about the jewelry store either. From an oyster, right? From a clam, from a mussel. Three things that they can form pearls. But a pearl is formed from something getting in that clam or oyster that agitates. It gets an irritant. Now, before we go any further, anybody have any irritants in life? I see a few smiles. I think we could all say yes. I've got. What are you allowing the irritants of your life to do for you? Well, let's think about pearls for a moment. That gets this irritant in there, and those clams and oysters, they secrete a chemical fluid that goes and surrounds and layers that irritant. And then it secretes another layer over it. And it keeps secreting, and those layers build up over that irritant. And that's where a pearl comes from. If there wasn't an irritant, there wouldn't be a pearl. But a pearl comes from where there is an irritant and agitation, and through that agitation comes something beautiful. A pearl represents something that is rare. You don't just casually find a pearl laying around. It takes time. It takes effort on the part of that oyster. It represents something that's valuable and something that's beautiful. There are many different colors of pearls that are produced. There are white ones. There are pink ones. There are black ones. There are green ones that are almost iridescent. There are pearls that will almost glow. If you get them in certain settings, they almost glow. Do you know when we come walking up to the gates of heaven, that one gate is one large pearl? It's made up of a large pearl. It wasn't just a lot of little ones. Folks, the way into heaven comes through some persecutions and distresses and hardships of life, but it can turn things into something beautiful. And there is no better illustration of what that pearl in its fullness represents this morning, this afternoon, than the man that found over in Matthew 13, verse 46. There was a man that found something of so much value. Remember what he found? Found a pearl of great price. And what did that represent? What was that pearl of great price that he found? It was salvation, wasn't it? It was salvation through Jesus Christ. He found something that surpassed. It said he went out looking for goodly pearls. And you know, you find most pearls 10 to 15 millimeters, all right, diameter. But do you know what the largest natural pearl is? They found it. It's called the Pearl of Allah. They found it off the coast of the Philippines. In 1930, and it's 24 centimeters in diameter. It weighs 14 pounds. This is a pearl that weighs 14 pounds, and it's valued at $3.5 million. Now, one gate, there's 12 gates, but one gate is made up of one big, enormous pearl. Folks, this man found a pearl of great price. And it said he went and he sold everything he had to purchase that pearl. Yeah. Now, folks, I don't have enough money in the bank. I don't have enough to go out and buy a $3.5 million pearl. But thank God this afternoon, when we give everything that we have, we can get the best of this world in Jesus Christ. If you have salvation, you have found the pearl of great price. But do you know that Jesus paid and went through a lot for our salvation? Salvation, a pearl of great price, it's Jesus Christ. But what did Jesus go through that we might have salvation? The scripture said, and you can turn and read it in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, but he was despised. He was rejected. He was betrayed. He was looked down on. He was misjudged. He was talked about. He was belittled. He was rejected. And ultimately, he was crucified on the cross and endured so much humiliation. But what came out of that suffering? The power of the resurrection. What came out of that suffering was the ability to forgive mankind of their sins. Folks, there is nothing more beautiful than what Christ has to offer us this afternoon. And when I think about the gate of heaven being made of pearl, what does that mean? Well, one of the things it means to me, according to the Word of God, is the entrance into heaven is who? How do we get there? It's by Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the door, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. So there is not salvation in any other this afternoon. There is no church. There is, and I'm talking about us too. There is no church. There is no ministry. There is no organization that can save your soul except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But it came at a high cost. But what came out of that suffering was a beautiful pearl that when our eyes get opened up to the light and life of Christ Jesus, we can have that this morning. So when we go into heaven, we're going to start by seeing, this is how I made it, was from the suffering of Christ that brought forth something beautiful in life. There is another pearl that was man-made, and I believe it was done in China. They found it, then they made it into a pearl. And it's the largest man-made pearl. It's called the Beauty of the Ocean. It weighs 6 tons. It's 5 feet high. It's green and it glows. It's iridescent and it's valued at $139 million. We think about a pearl, the gates, one of the gates of heaven being made out of one great pearl. Folks, it is of so much value, and we can possess that in our life this afternoon when we have Jesus Christ. But let's take it just a little step further. Over in the 7th chapter of Revelation, that John had a vision of a great multitude of people around the throne of God praising Him and worshiping Him. And a question was asked in verse 13. One of the elders said, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Who are all these people that are around the throne of God worshiping and praising? And he said, sir, he said, thou knowest. He said, you know who these people are. Well, then he went on to explain who they were. He said, these are they which came out of what? Great tribulation. These people that you see around the throne, they came out of some tribulation, great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Do you know this morning is Christ? Christ is that pearl of great price. There's also some more symbolism in this thing. When we come up to the gates of heaven, those pearly gates ought to remind us of some of the tribulations that we went through in this life and that there was beauty that came out of it. Folks, we've got a job to do. We have a job to do right now. There are irritants in life, but what did Christ do with His? What did He do when He was rejected? What did He do when He was falsely accused? He committed it to God. He humbled Himself. He took the lowly way, and out of that, there came something beautiful. And then we read about Jesus telling us, He said, you are the light of the world. Do we have that light that we've manufactured it? No, it's the light of Christ shining in us as we allow His grace to work in our life. Isn't that true? So here's something else I trust will be a blessing to you. Pearls. Yes, Christ, the beauty of Christ came from great suffering. We read about the church that was around the throne worshiping him. He said they came out of great tribulation. But look what they have now. They have beauty. So, Lord, what about us? So when we have irritations in life, those people that take you to your knees or so you don't open your mouth and say things you ought not to say, those people that you have to go to the Lord and pray that, Lord, help me to conduct myself like I should. The sufferings physically and emotional sufferings and heartache that people go through in life, are we going to allow those things to break us? Or is there a place that we can bring those hard things to the Lord and allow this layer to go over the irritant? And then layer after layer after layer until we have something beautiful. Do you know what that layer is that will start covering up our irritants if we'll bring it to Christ? It's called grace. The grace of God is what comes in with the problems and the irritants and the frustrations and the persecutions. Do you know what Jesus said about persecution? Didn't Jesus address that issue? Let's turn and read in Luke in the second chapter, or the sixth chapter rather. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Jesus said, "Blessed are you." Now, who has ever been blessed when you're irritated? Or you've got irritants in life. Some irritants people just need to let go. But do you know there are other things that happen in life? They'll shake your world. And you've got to get something divine. But there is grace that can layer that thing. There is a... Well, let's go ahead and finish reading this. "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you and shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." Have you felt blessed when those things have happened to you? You know, Jesus said, you're blessed when that happens. When you're serving, you young people, when you kind of get ostracized and pushed to the side because of your faith and you won't do what the world does, blessed are ye. That's what Jesus said. But he went on to say, do this. He said, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. He wasn't just saying one of these little quiet, amen. Brother Carl asked how many people had said praise God in this meeting. Jesus, now that we're talking about, I'm not talking about Brother Carl now. We're talking about what Jesus said. He said, when you are rejected and you are cast out for my name's sake, what did he say? Rejoice and leap for joy. You know, you get someone just kind of this little jump. You know, I'm not even going to ask how many of y'all have jumped when you were happy for the Lord. Sometimes it's hard enough just to get that little sweet praise the Lord out. You know what I'm talking about? But Jesus said, leap. And again, he wasn't saying we all have to get up and have a, you know, jack in the box in the service. That's not what he was saying. But he was talking about letting your hearts be overcome with thanksgiving and happiness because I'm a partaker of the suffering of Christ. Amen. I'm not suffering now because my own stubbornness or because I'm obstinate and hard to get along with, but because we're living for the Lord, there's going to be some persecution in life. And I think that some of the greatest persecution is not physical persecution. You study history out, and when there was physical persecution, it tended many times to draw people closer to God. But when there is a subtle persecution of making you feel like you're not as intelligent because you believe in holiness, and people kind of look at you like you're strange and this everything goes mentality that we've heard about in this meeting, that is a greater form of tribulation that God's people are facing in this generation. And we're going to have to stand true. But folks, rather than allow that to break us this afternoon, we can allow the grace of God to cover up those problems and we can shine. Amen. A beautiful pearl in the hand of God, not because I'm so righteous, but because in my need, the grace of God came and he covered up that tribulation, that irritant, that hard thing that I'm going through. And the grace of God, layer after layer, Do you know that makes beautiful saints of God? It makes beautiful saints. I grew up hearing stories about a brother in California by the name of Brother Trimble. His wife was unsaved for many, many years. Brother Trimble and Aunt Ella, you can correct me whenever. I may not get these stories right. But if I'm not mistaken, he would go to service and come home and she would have locked him outside. Wouldn't let him in the house for a long time. But he kept grace. He allowed that difficulty in life, the grace of God, to keep him sweet. You want to talk about pearls. How many of us here want to really shine for the Lord? There's three. All right. There's four. Good. Do you realize that we will only shine for the Lord in as much as we go through difficult places in life? Because are we really shining when everybody's treating us good? We've got good health and money in the bank, and everybody's doing things just like I think they ought to be doing them, and on my time schedule and my manner. You say, well, I have lots of grace when everybody does things like I think they ought to. But that's really not what grace is about. People shine when they get in places like Brother Trimble did in their own home. When someone is standing against you, trying to tear you down, in people, whether out in the world, your neighbors, people you work with, and I'll tell you, folks, sometimes it's right among God's people. People that you think ought to be right there just being a friend and supportive, and they're an irritant. But do you know that gives people an opportunity to let their light for Christ shine out? And it takes the grace of God. Lord, I can't do this by myself, but Lord, would you help me to love and forgive and be long-suffering? Do you know that's what creates spiritual pearls? That's what brings out true saints. And as one brother said, and I don't advise you in a difficult situation to share this, all right? It would just be adding fuel to the fire. But as one brother said, he said, you rub and I'll shine. Yeah. Well, that's not a good thing. Brothers and sisters, don't share that when you're in a little difference of opinion. Well, brother, you rub and I'll shine. But do you know that really the reality is that serving the Lord, that's the way it ought to be? Pearls come from agitation. We can allow it to cause us to be carnal and get out of sorts and say things that we ought not to say. Or we can say, by the grace of God, Lord, would you layer me with your grace? Would you layer me with your grace and allow me to be beautiful? That God will beautify the meek with salvation. But we have to humble ourselves and allow his grace to permeate. Brother Trimble also, my father told me that Brother Trimble had a long driveway leading to his house, and incidentally, his wife got saved before she died. Isn't that right, Aunt Nelda? Do you know why? I think she saw a pearl. She saw the grace of God layer after layer working in the life of her husband because of Jesus Christ. Well, he had a tree-lined driveway. Beautiful trees lined his driveway. He came home one day, and his neighbor was not a friendly fellow, and his neighbor had gotten out there and cut down Brother Trimble's trees. All along that beautiful tree-lined driveway, Brother Trimble couldn't get around very well, if I'm not mistaken. And he got out there with a chainsaw, and he cut up those trees. The man just left the trees laying there. Brother Trimble got out there and worked and cut those trees up, and he took the firewood over to his neighbor and gave it to him. Folks, you want to talk about beauty. That's what the saints of God, this is what this means, folks, in real life. It starts in our homes, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters. This is where the graces of Christ can shine out when they layer. And then it spreads out from there in our interactions with the world and the difficulties that will come our way. Folks, let's let it be layered with grace. Let's allow the beauty of Christ to just layer us. Think about Paul for a moment. Paul said, he went through a list. He said, I was shipwrecked. I was beaten. I was, you know, I I was hungry. He listed so many hardships that he went through. But yet, what did he say? Brother Carl, I think, mentioned part of the scripture. 1 Corinthians, let's just turn and read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he said, the Lord spoke and said, my grace is sufficient. Okay, you've got a thorn in the flesh, you've got problems, but I want you to know that my grace is sufficient to cover that irritant. My grace is sufficient because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul said, would I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, because of that, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Isn't that beautiful this afternoon? So we sing the song, Welcome the Storms, My Hope is Abounding. Why does our hope abound today? It's because of the grace of God. You want to be beautiful for Christ this afternoon? It's going to come from the irritants and the distresses and persecutions when we open up our heart and allow His grace to cover that thing, and we become a pearl in the hand of God. Like to conclude over in Ephesians in the second chapter. Ephesians chapter 2. So, the picture that we have of heaven there in Revelation 21, it said there were 12 gates, and each gate was one pearl. I think it's kind of like that man-made pearl that weighs so many tons and has so much value. And I look at that entrance into heaven. You know, if you're going to go into heaven, it's going to take some persecution. It's going to take some hardships. It's going to take some distresses. But you can allow those things not to keep you out of heaven. Rather, those hardships can be your very salvation when you allow the grace of God to layer it. So when we look at that pearl there, I want to remember Christ. I want to remember that He went through persecution and He came out beautiful. And I found that pearl. Aren't you thankful to have found the pearl of great price this afternoon? I'm so thankful. And I also want to remember when I walk into heaven by the grace of God and I see that gate, this mammoth pearl there, I can look at that, remember my Savior, and I can remember the difficult things that we pass through in life and remember how the grace of God, just like that oyster secretes that fluid that covers up that irritant to make a pearl, I can remember God's grace was just as sufficient for me. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, he said, well, let's read verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Folks, we are in one of those ages this afternoon. The riches of the grace of Jesus Christ is still layering and protecting those that will humble themselves and put their trust in Him. So as you leave here this afternoon, I hope you all have an irritant-free day. But I also know life. And eventually, you're going to face some of the same hardships, same struggles. And we're not talking about people that just wear their feelings on their sleeve. There's grace to move on from those things, folks. You need to grow up a little bit sometimes. But I'm talking about the realities of struggles that people have. That in those difficult times, I want you to remember, if you have the pearl of great price, the Lord can also work something beautiful in your life in the very thing that would cause you some of the greatest distresses, and it's because of His grace. I thank God for the richness of His grace that He's still showing. So as you study, and you can go, you want some homework, you can go do some more study in Revelation 21 there, a little more about heaven. But I want you to remember when you read about those gates of pearl, that it came at a cost and a price, but it turned into something beautiful. God bless you all. Amen.